والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، today inshallah we'll be reading the 19th hadith from the Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. It has always been mentioned Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi, the Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi, because many scholars before him had compiled Arba'un. That if we remember, we mentioned some of them to us from the beginning while we talked about the Muqaddimah of this book. And from that, people like Imam Al-Ajurri, alayhi rahmatullah. And since after him, many others too have compiled Arba'un. And in our times, from those who have compiled Arba'un, it's Sheikh Abu al-Harith or Abu al-Hassan Ali ibn Hassan ibn Ali Abu al-Hamid al-Halabi. He also compiled Arba'un. Today, inshallah, as we said, we'll be reading the 19th hadith from the Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah. In it, it says, عن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوما فقال لي يا غلام فقال لي يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وإن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح وفي رواية غير الترمذي احفظ الله تجده أمامك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع الأسر يسرا. الإمام النووي عليه رحمة الله has mentioned this hadith as his way in this book. And that is that he should mention a hadith mahzufat al-asanid. He should mention them cutting off their asanid. That is the chain of transmission from which it came from the Prophet Muhammad. The only thing he will mention in the hadith is sahabi al-hadith. Yani sahabi al-hadith, the companion who reported the hadith. So in this hadith that he has mentioned, the 19th hadith in his Arba'un, the one who has reported the hadith, is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. And so he says alayhi rahmatullah an Abi al-Abbas. So Abu al-Abbas is the kunya of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas, his kunya is Abu al-Abbas. He's the one who reported this hadith. He says radiyallahu anhuma, because both father and son, both Abdullah and his father Al-Abbas, are both companions of the Prophet Muhammad. And we know many of the companions whose parents were companions. Last week we read the hadith of Abdullah, the class before we read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Busr. And we said that both Abdullah and his father Busr are companions of the Prophet Muhammad. But in their own case, and the sister of Samma. But in the case of Abdullah ibn Abbas, we shall come back to it, inshallah. Himself, companion, his father, companion, his mother, Lubaba, companion. So inshallah we'll come back to that. He said radiallahu anhuma, kuntu khalfa nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yawman. One day I was behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Behind him, how? Was he standing behind him or was he riding behind him? And the mustadrak of Imam Hakim alayhi rahmatullah has rewired and made us to understand that he was riding behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Faqala li, and the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, ya gulam, O young man. A gulam is someone who has left being breastfed, but he has not matured. So within this range, all persons are referred to as what? Gulam. So he said alayhi salatu wa salam, ya gulam. So it means that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam was talking to Abdullah ibn Abbas when he was very young. A person who had not matured and he has just left being breastfed. Because he died alayhi salatu wa salam when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was just 13 years old. This is what is most authentic. There are riwayat that he died alayhi salatu wa salam when he was 10 years old. There are riwayat that shows that he died alayhi salatu wa salam when he was 13 years old. There are riwayat that shows that he died when he was 15 years old. But the correct thing is that he died. All of these riwayat are sahiha. Lakin al-Hafiz ibn Hajar alayhi rahmatullah in Fath al-Bari made an analysis of these riwayat and said that he actually died when Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah was 13 years old. So the one who reports 15 rounds it up to the nearest 5. And the one who has reported 10 rounds it up to the nearest 10. Things like this is very common. The same thing applies to that of the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet died alayhi salatu wasalam when he was 63. So you see riwayat of 60, you see riwayat of 65. Entire Muslim. So it is common like that. It is one of the ways of the Arabs. One of the talib of mentioning date and period is this that we have said. But the actual age Ibn Abbas was radiallahu anhuma when the Prophet died alayhi salatu wasalam was 13. So he said, ya gulam, O young boy, inni u'allimuka kalimat, I will teach you, or let me teach you some words. In some riwayat it says, inni u'allimuka kalimat yanfa'uka Allahu bihinna. I will teach you some words, few words, yanfa'uka Allahu bihinna. Allah will, by them, grant you benefits. But those words that I will teach you, Allah will grant you benefits with them. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ihfazillaha yahfaz. Guide Allah's rules, guide Allah's sharia, guide Allah's hudud, yahfazka. Allah will protect you. The one who is looking for security, he should guide Allah's rules. He will get security from Rabbul Bariya. He said to him again, alayhi salatu wasalam, ishqazillaha tajidhu tujahak. Guide Allah's rules. Guide his sharia. Take care of it. If he commands you, follow the command. If he prohibits you, abstain from the prohibition. If you do this, tajidhu tujahak. Yani tajidhu amamak. You will find Allah before you. You find Allah guiding you. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ. When you ask, if you have to ask for something, ask Allah alone. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek help, seek Allah's help alone. Only. It says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. Be sure. No. Understand this fact that أن الأمة, the whole of human beings, anything you can add to it, لو اجتمعوا أو لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء, if they gather, they all gather, they touch that for the reason that they can bring a particular benefit to you, his عليه الصلاة والسلام, لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. They cannot grant you that benefit except that which Allah had written for you. وَإِنِ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَدُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ. And if they gather, all human beings gather, if they want to cause a particular harm to him, such and such person, he says, لَمْ يَدُرُّكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. They cannot cause you that harm except a harm that Allah had written for you. He says, رُفِعَتِ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. Except by a harm that Allah has written for you. That those things, that harm will come to you. We'll come to that, inshallah. He said, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ. The pens are already raised. The pens have been raised already. وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. And the pages are already dried. رواه الترمذي. الإمام الترمذي عليه رحمة الله أبو عيسى محمد بن عيسى بن سورة الترمذي قد رفت بحديث وقال حديث حسن صحيح. He says this hadith is حسن صحيح. He says وفي رواية غير الترمذي. In another رواية other than that of الإمام الترمذي, the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام اشكب الله تجده أمامك. Guide Allah's rules. تجده أمامك. You will find him, like he said in the first riwayah, تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكْ. So تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكْ, تَجِدْهُ أَمَامَكْ, بِمَعْنَ وَاحِدٍ. You will find Allah guiding you. Allah will guide you. If you guide his rules, if you protect, if you guide his rules, you find Allah protecting you, you find Allah guiding you. He will be your guide. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَرَّخَى. Know Allah at the time of ease. Know Allah. Like obey Allah at the time of ease. Some of the people, it is when they have ease that they do not obey Allah. Perhaps that's why Allah says, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ. If Allah had extended tremendous wealth to his slaves, they would have gone oppressive on the earth. They would have gone excess on the earth. So ta'arraf ila Allahi sirraha. At the time of ease, at the time of comfort, remember, obey Allah at that time. Love to obey Allah at the time. Like to abstain from his prohibitions. And you should also like to bring about his commands. He says, ya'rifka fi shiddah. Allah will also shower upon you his blessings. He will protect you. He will love you, he will guide you, and he will also save you at the time of difficulty. So he says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. So you know that at the time of difficulty. He says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. And you should understand that مَا أَخْطَأَكَ, whatever misses you, لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ, was not to reach you in the first place. So that was why it missed you. It was not meant to reach you. So it missed you. It missed you because basically it was not meant for you. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ, and whatever reaches you, whatever afflicts you, لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ, it was not to miss you. Whatever reaches you was not to miss you, and whatever misses you was not to reach you. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. You should understand that help comes, support comes from Allah while we are patient. And then he says, وَأَنَّ الْفَارَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ. And way opens out from difficulty. As difficulty becomes greater, a way is getting, you know, closer to be opened. It says, وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And you should know also that the more things become difficult, the closer one gets to ease. So when things are becoming difficult, don't know if it is getting closer to ease. This is from the preordainment of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah said this riwayah is mentioned by other than al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. But he did not say who gave the riwayah. It is from the riwayah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad. And also it's been reported by al-Imam Abd ibn Humayd, also in his Musnad, and al-Imam al-Tabarani alayhi rahmatullah in his Mu'jam al-Kabir. The one who has reported this hadith to us is al-Imam Imam al-Mufassirin Abu al-Abbas Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas is the one who reported this hadith. And as we mentioned earlier, he's from amongst those companions whose parents were both Muslims. His father, Al-Abbas, was the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. His mother, Lubaba, was also a Muslimah and a companion. And a sister to one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad, Maymuna. He was lucky, radiallahu anhuma. His father, a Muslim, Sahabi. His mother, a Muslimah, Sahabiyah. His aunt, not just a Muslimah, but from Ummahatul Mu'mineen, from the mothers of the believers. It was easy for all of these, and he stayed sometimes in the house of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes Abdullah ibn Abbas would go and sleep in the house of the Prophet with his aunt, maternal aunt, Maymuna, radiallahu anha. It was a great benefit that someone has that opportunity to stay in the house of the Prophet Muhammad. Those who stayed in the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet was dead, he counted as favored, and they were seen as people who were favored. How much more the one who was sleeping in the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet was alive. It was a great favor for him. The great favor for him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of those days he slept in the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they wake up, he went to preserve water for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make wudu, ghusl, and his morning needs for water. And the Prophet asked alayhi salatu wa sallam, who placed this one here? He said it was Ibn Abbas. And the Prophet prayed for him alayhi salatu wa sallam. Because he had that prayer twice, he said, radiallahu anhuma, that da'a Rasulu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liya bil hikmati marratain. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for me that I should have wisdom twice. One of them was when he slept in the house of the Prophet Muhammad. And on that day he gave water, he preserved water, and the Prophet came, he got the water, he used it. He said, ooh, who left this water? I was the one. So he prayed for him. Prayed for him alayhi salatu wasalam that he should have hikmah. This is evidence that we should not look at whatever a child does that it does not matter. He will not forget this. A child does something, he should jazakallah khairan. At least. But today a child does something to us, we do not even recognize that the child has done anything. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prayed for him, that Allah should make him understand Islam and give him the knowledge of tafsir. The ulama, al-Imam al-Zahabi, alayhi rahmatullah, when he introduced Abdullah ibn Abbas in his book, Siyar al-A'lam al-Nubala, one of what he said about him is, Imam al-Mufassirin, Imam al-Tafsir, Imam al-Tafsir. In other words, hardly any verse of the Quran that you will find except that Ibn Abbas has an explanation. In fact, in many of them, you will not find any explanation from any companion except Ibn Abbas. And his explanation, radiallahu anhuma, on that verse will be the end of explanation. They are not going to have to take any other explanation except his explanation. Allah really granted him knowledge. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, alayhi rahmatullah, in Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, why he was talking about Ibn Abbas, he says, Al-Bahru wal-Habr, is al-bahr. One who is referred to as al-bahr is well read, vast. And habr is the one who is vast, who has a lot of written documents, scholarly works. So this was from the blessings that Ibn Abbas got from all of what he had around him. So Allah also blessed him with a lot of children who were scholars in the history of Islam, including his daughters. He had daughters, male children, female children. So one of the companions of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, Imam Masruq, he said, alayhi rahmatullah, كنت إذا رأيت ابن عباس قلت أجمل الناس. Each time I saw, or whenever I saw Abdullah ibn Abbas, I say, أجمل الناس. Because Ibn Abbas is reported to be very handsome. He was reported to be huge. He was huge in his... In one of the reports, he said that if he sat down, he took the place of 2 to 3 people. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. And he was mentioned to wear good clothes. In a report, it was said that he would wear a cloth that cost 100 dirham. 100 dirham, if you take half of 100 dirham, is what the silver equivalent of the nisab of zakah. The nisab of zakah from the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, in Sunan Abi Dawud is 200 dirham. But he will wear a cloth that worth 100 dirham. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. If someone wears a cloth that about 200 dirhams, nice, about 70,000 naira. So someone wears one cloth that costs about 35,000 naira, for example. People say, he does not do zuhud, ne. But these are the eminent people who live with the Prophet Muhammad. They are the ones who transferred Islam to us, and they will do this. It's not saying that one should be extravagant in what he wears, but it is saying that it is not from zuhud not to appear neat and clean. So the Muslim should appear neat and clean at all times. He says from one of the hadith we had read that إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is pure, clean. He will not accept anything except that which is also nice and clean. And طَيِّب is anything that is halal. Everything that is halal is طَيِّب. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is not from the people who say, oh, just like to dress wherever he likes or in any way he likes. He says, why is there nafaka kultu afsakun nas? When he speaks, I say, this is the most fluent of people. Wa iza tahaddasa kultu a'lamun nas. He says, but if he speaks, if he begins to narrate the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most learned among the people. When he is seen, most handsome of the people, radiallahu anhuma. When he talks, most eloquent. When he is teaching, the most learned. Imam Masruq said that regarding Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. In the narration, he said, alayhi salatu alayhi rahmatullah, ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. He said that I had mentioned that Mata Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ra'asi wa da'a liya bil hikmah marratain. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rubbed my head and prayed for me to get hikmah, wisdom, twice. In the narration, he said, the Prophet said, Allahumma allimhu ta'wil al-Quran. Allahumma allimhu ta'wil al-Quran. Oh Allah, make this boy know tafsir. Here he is called Imam al-Mufassirin. There is no error in it. And many of the companions who are known for tafsir of the Quran had mentioned his knowledge regarding tafsir. One of them is Ibn Mas'ud. He was said to have mentioned that Abdullah ibn Abbas is from the most learned in tafsir of Quran. He is the one who has reported this hadith, radiallahu anhumah. Like we said, he was a very young man when the Prophet died. He was 13 years old when the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam. So sometimes he was staying in the house of the Prophet Muhammad. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. He said, "Kuntu khalfa an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yawm." One day I rode behind the Prophet Muhammad. As we said, there's a riwayah in Hadrat Imam Hakim that makes us understand that he was radif, was riding behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Faqala li, and the Prophet said to him, this is evidence that elders should keep the time, they should find time to teach young people what benefits them. You have a child, you have a boy that comes to you always. Don't start asking him whether it was good that Umar Mutallab bombed people. No. Tell him things that will benefit him in this world and hereafter. And that's why in another report it was said that يَنْفَعُكَ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ. These things that I will tell you, Allah will make them grant you, Allah will make them benefit you. If you hold on to them, you find great benefits in them. These things that I'm going to say to you. So whether those children are us, whether those children are the children of other people, whenever we have any opportunity to a child, the effort should be, what will this boy learn from me and that he will never forget? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, it is reported about him that if he saw little children on the road, he will tell them to say his taslim to Nabi Isa if he comes. If you come, you meet Nabi Isa, say my taslim to him. Definitely, such children will start wondering that, so Nabi Isa will come. Won't children think like that? Naturally, they start thinking, so Nabi Isa will come. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, if you saw children on the street, إِذَا جَاءَكَ نَبِي إِسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ إِقْرَىٰ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. If Isa comes and you are around, tell him salam from me. So when you meet a child, many times people like to say rubbish to children. Rubbish! So take the opportunity to make the child to have benefits. Tell him something that will give him benefits. Things of the deen, of course. That is not to say we can't play with children. When we play with children, we know so many things. We know their level of intelligence. And by that, we know what we can tell them. You know what you can say when they are there. You know how you can relate with them. Even from the things of the deen that you will say to them, you know how you are going to say it. Most times, you derive that when you play with them. So, but it should not be the order of the deen. Each time we say a child, it is a play. Each time we meet a young person, it is a play. Look at how this boy will get something from you that he will never forget. He said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, يَنْفَعُكَ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ. Allah will benefit you instead. Look at him. He died, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was just 13, and he never forgot. Until he had to tell the people, I was behind him. So when he went blind at the tail end of his life, he was not surprised because he knows that لَمْ يَكُنْ لِي يُخْتِئَ. Ibn Abbas went blind towards the end of his life. He knew, okay, yes. I was not going to miss. There's a narration that one day he came in, Al-Abbas, his father came into the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he spoke to the Prophet and went away. And when Ibn Abbas came, he saw the Prophet with the man. And then went away. Then when the man left, the Prophet asked him, do you know who that man was? He said it was Jibreel. Then he saw Jibreel with his eyes. And that Jibreel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Abbas that you will soon go blind because nobody sees Jibreel like this except that he goes blind. This narration is weak. It's not authentic. It's not authentic that Abdullah ibn Abbas saw Jibreel with the Prophet Muhammad and that the Prophet told him that for seeing Jibreel is going to go blind. It's not authentic. It's not authentic at all. So, but he went blind, radiallahu anhuma. And he was happy that he went blind. Ibn Abbas was happy that he went blind. He said, because this is Bishara, that he's going to enter into Al-Jannah. This is giving him glad tidings. Additionally, anyway, that he was going to enter the Jannah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, there are many hadiths in Sahih Bukhari, that anyone that I touch his two beloved, and then he's patient and hopeful that I will reward him, he does not have any reward that I will give to him except what? Al-Jannah. So the one who Allah takes his sight and he is patient for it, the reward is Al-Jannah.
the reward for that patience is Al-Jannah. No less. You will not get anything less than Al-Jannah for that reward, for that patience of his. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, hearing all of this, it is from what formed his person. So when he became blind, he was not so. It is written for him, Rufi'at al-Aqlam, or Jaffat al-Suhuf, that I'm going to become blind. And he became blind. He was happy, alhamdulillah. So he died, radiallahu anhu, being blind. He was happy with it. I think he died at age 71. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya gulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. Oh, young boy, I will teach you few words and few words. Here the Prophet calls the attention of Abdullah ibn Abbas so that he will pay attention to what he is going to say. And it is from the ways of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when he wanted to tell somebody anything very serious, he wants him to hold it seriously, he will call his attention. Last week he told us about Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The Prophet will call him alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Mu'adh. He wanted to tell him that he loved him. He says, Inni uhibbuka. I love you. He says, Wallahi ana uhibbuka. He says, oh, I also love you too, by Allah. So sometimes he will call their attention. Sometimes he could be repeating something, Ad-deenu nasiha, Ad-deenu nasiha, Ad-deenu nasiha. So, Allah tasma'un, Allah tasma'un. The day he told them about al-bazalat min al-iman. He was just at Allah tasma'un, Allah tasma'un, do they not hear? Or will they not hear? Will they not hear what? أن البزازة من الإيمان. That being simple is the simplistic manner, dressing and look is from Iman. He makes something, sometimes in his statement, sometimes he touches the people. Sometimes he calls them by their name. Sometimes he makes use of words such as Allah, Inna fil jasadi mudghah. Listen to me. Hold on to this that I'm going to say. So it is from the etiquette of teaching method, that we call the attention of those we teach when we want to make important points. It could call their attention by mentioning their names, so listen. It could call their attention by touching them, listen. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet grabbed his hands. In fact, there he combined two things. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man ya'khudh minni khamsan ya'mal biha wa ya'allimu man ya'mal biha. Who will take that thing from me, upon which he will act, and then he will teach somebody who will act upon it. He said, فَأَخَذَنِي بِيَجِ فَعَدَّ خَمْسًا فَقَالَ. He grabbed me by my hands. You want to tell somebody things, you grab his hands. What will the person do? You pay attention to what he said. So the Prophet had, alayhi salatu wasalam, a salib. That is from the best of people. He never taught anybody anything. From the best person who taught anybody anything was the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya gulam, oh young boy. He says, Inni u'allimuka kalimat. I will teach you some words, few words. Yanfa'uka Allahu bihinna. By them, Allah will grant you benefits. Allah will make them benefit you. The first thing he said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, is, Ihfazillaha yahfazka. Ihfazillaha. Literally, if you translate that, you will say, protect Allah, or guide Allah, or memorize Allah. No. Protect, guide His rules. احفظ شريعته وحدوده. Guide His rules, guide His Sharia. By obeying His laws, by acting upon His orders, and abstaining from His prohibitions. The Prophet was used to saying this kind of thing to his companions in many ways. This same word, he will use a word that will imply that act upon Allah's Sharia, don't go beyond it, don't exceed boundaries. obey Allah when He commands you, and when He prohibits you, don't disobey Him. Obey Him in every situation. He said that in many ways. He says a talking laugh. It's the same thing that he's saying, because that is the meaning of taqwa. When he said to Ibn Abbas, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he grabbed his hand, that it's talking maharim, that is the same. Talking about that now. So, he was saying that, obey Allah, don't disobey Him, in many ways. One of such ways is to say, Ihfazillah. And when you do that, what do you get back? Yahfazka. Like saying, in tansurullaha. If you help Allah, Allah will help you. Fazkurni fazkur. If you grant, if you make remembrance of me, I will remember you. So it's common like that. All of these are the same thing in different ways. So he says, alayhi rahmatullah, radiya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. By the rules of Allah, يَحْفَظُكَ. Allah will protect you. The one who drinks and gets, the one who smokes, that's more particular. The one who smokes and gets a heart disease from it, if he left smoking, if he knows that Allah prohibits her from bringing harm to herself, he will not smoke. And by that, he gets protected from the heart disease, this very heart disease, or the kidney disease. And yet, people have this disease, they are still smoking. Or he has the disease, he's still smoking. He still can't do without smoking. The heart is going, the kidney is gone, he's still smoking. So, but the one who obeys Allah, he's protected from things like this. He has about 90% assurance of protection from HIV, for example. Because he will not make zina. And it is the most common way of contracting HIV. He will not make zina. So he's ruled out from that angle. If you catch it, you catch it maybe from somebody. And ikhwan, anyone who is strict with obeying the rules of Allah, from all these kind of things, Allah will protect you. But he uses a razor blade that someone who has had. Because he will know that don't use something that will be harmful to you. He's already aware now that using such razors could be harmful. So if he sees anybody who wants to use it, he says, no, don't use it. At least from these aspects, you cover it up. But if it now happens to him unknowingly, you say, oh, Allah has it. So, Ihfazillah, the one who guides the rules of Allah, Allah protects such persons. So, from the ways of seeking protection is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah will protect you. So, he said again, alayhi salatu wa salam, Ihfazillaha. One of the scholars said, he said this again with tawqeed, for emphasis. Guide the rules of Allah. Tajidhu tujahak. You will find that Allah will be your guide. So you will hardly be able to do something except you are finding out, what does Allah say I should do in this condition? This kind of a thing that I want to do, this how I should do it. And in the end, you find that your guide is what Allah says, Prophet says. That will be your guide. Because before you even take a step, you are asking, what does Allah say I should do? Does He permit me to do this? Does He not permit me to do this? Should I do that? Should I say this? Should I not say this? So in the end, you find that you have a guide. And that guide will be Allah, His deen. So you find that Allah will guide you if you protect the rules, if you guide the rules of Allah. In doing one thing, he has mentioned two benefits, though there are more than these two benefits. But many of the rest of the benefits are contained in these two. He says, Ihfazillah yahfazka. Allah will protect you from Ihfazillah. Also he says, Ihfazillah tajidhu tujahak. So if he protects you and guides you, what else do you want? You are protected and guided. What else do you want? The one who is protected from the evil. And he's guided towards good. He's getting everything. He's protected from the evils that come. And he's guided towards that which is good. He's gotten all he needs to live as a human being. So he said to him, the young man, Ihfazillah. He didn't say, this boy at this age does not need to be told to fear Allah. He's still a small boy now. Sir, why is he having this boy with all this fiala, fiala? Give him nothing to be playing about. His mates are playing football. So when the people today memorize the names of footballers, at that time, these people were memorizing Ifadillah. Ya Hafalka. Ifadillah. Sajidhu Tujahak. Wa iza sa'alta. Fasta'lillaha. Wa iza sta'alta. Fasta'in billah. At that age, starting. Today, just try. Call the average 13-year-old boy. Tell him. List 11 players playing for Nigeria. You give me the list. Chidi. Chinedu. You tell him their names. But ask him, tell me four companions of Allah's Messenger. He say, Ali, Abu, Abu. This is what you hear from people. But at their time, age 13, Ifadillah, was what they were memorizing. So each of us should know what his own child is memorizing. Because Ashabu ala awali nash'atihi. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Says Ashab Allah Awali Nashati. A young man is ever upon what he grew upon. Here is that way, you still go back to that person. So we should know what we, what are our children or the children of the rest of the people? We should know upon what are they being groomed. Upon what are they groomed? It should be of concern to us. Unfortunately, many parents don't even have that time for their children. So they don't know where their children are. They give birth to them and send them to Dubai. I've seen a little girl. This girl is less than 3 years old. She's been taken to Dubai for nursery and primary school. We met in the plane. She's a non-Muslim girl. I mean, the child of a non-Muslim. Less than three. In fact, I was sitting like this, she was sitting next to me. Is going to Dubai to school, nursery school. There are Muslims doing it too. The children are Muslims too, are in all the rest of the places. Is it in these places you will hear Ifadillah? The one who carry plane and bomb, go and look at the schools he attended. Is it the place you will hear Ifadillah? Yeah, Hafazka. And when he's, because you know, kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra, when his fitra wanted Islam, he got it everything wrong. Nothing wrong. Let's know what our children are putting in their minds. Because those things will make their persons. It will make their personality at the end of the day. Here Ibn Abbas is being told that Ifadillah tajidhu tujah. When you guide the rules of Allah, you see Allah guide you. The one was shouting, I want to talk to Muslim. I don't say I'm lonely. Because Islam is absent really in the sense of the world, in the real factual sense. No Islam. No Islam. So the Prophet was teaching Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas is not the son of the Prophet Muhammad. He is the son of the sister of his wife. His wife is Maimuna, radiallahu anha. The sister of Maimuna is Lubaba, bint Harith. And Ibn Abbas is the son of Lubaba. But because he stayed in his house, and from the isle of a man, everyone under his roof is his ahal. So he's not limited to our children. Everyone under the roof of a man is his ahal. Okay. Ibn Abbas did not get anything from the Prophet except this one. He suffices for him. So only Allah knows what people's children are learning and memorizing now. He's telling Ishtabillah Tajidhu Tijah. Not only that. Zafa Alta. If you ask, when you will ask for something, don't ask anybody except Allah. Look at the kind of level the Prophet is taking this boy to. You teach a young boy that don't ever ask any human being anything. This is a boy that loves you and respects you and honors you. Because Ibn Abbas never did that for the Prophet Muhammad. He's telling you, don't ever ask anybody anything. From a childhood age, even though don't ever ask anybody for anything. If you tell an elderly person that one, he may not accept it. But if you tell a little young boy that, he will take to it. And you'll be watching it throughout his life. It will become out of him. You will never ask anybody for anything. You will never ask anybody for anything. So he says, what Iza Sa'alta? You know when Iza comes, it's Sayyidullah Mahdi. You see the mother? Al-Mubarak. He says, Iza Kumtum Ilafu. That is, if you want to ask somebody, you want to ask, you need to ask. Ask only Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is a sta'anta? You need support, help. Talab al-awn. Fasta'in billah. Seek help only from Allah. How is this boy going to be? Sinning. Tarbiya. What is a sta'anta? Fasta'in billah. So this boy will grow up to know that only Allah alone should be depended on. Only Allah alone should be asked. So, when Allah said in Surah An-Nisa that وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If Allah is ordering us, ask Allah from His favors. Ask Allah. Allah wants you to ask Him. This boy is getting that training from the Prophet. Don't ask anybody except Allah. Ulama say this is not saying that it is crazy to ask anybody anything, but that it is from Kamalu Tawheed never to ask anybody from anything. From the perfection of your Tawheed is that you never ask a human being for anything. But if you ask a human being what he has the ability to grant you, this is permissible. Jaiz. But the perfect people of Iman and Tawheed will never ask a human being. They will ask Allah. The ulama say, even that one that is Jaiz, that you ask somebody, Brother Abu Fulan, can you please give me so and so? If he gives it to you, know that he's not the one who has given you. Allah has only used him as the sabab, the means. The one who has actually given you is who? Allah. These are two things. In the first place, some people just think that if I ask him, is it permissible? Yes, it's permissible. If you ask him and he gives you, it is Allah. It has come from Allah. That's why he says to Allah, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعْمَلُونَ. Your provisions are in the heavens. What we have promised you is up there in the heavens. That's evidence that the Jannah is in the heavens. It's not on the earth. One of those who believe that the Jannah is on the earth, that the Jannah that Allah placed Nabi Adam alayhi salam is on the earth, or Sheikh Adam al Ilori. But the Jannah is in the heavens. This is from the evidence. What is Kama Iriskukum? What you have promised is also in the heavens. So this is evidence that we can also make isti'ana, as it is said, as we said, explained for dua ul mas'ala, that we can also make isti'ana, we can seek help from somebody with what we know that he has the ability to grant. So someone goes to a graveyard and start singing, Sheikh, so so and so, please give me long life. Can a Sheikh give long life? That is Sheikh. That action of asking the creature for what he has no ability to grant, Sheikh. Sheikhul Akbar, that takes somebody out of Islam. You do not ask a human being for what he cannot grant. A human being cannot grant you life. A human being cannot make rain to fall. A human being cannot grant you all what you know, but Allah alone grants. But those things, whatever you can ask from a human being, Allah can grant you. Look at what man cannot grant, Allah can grant. But what Allah will grant, no human being can grant it. So why are you asking the human being himself? So that's why the ulama, especially Sheikh Salih Muhammad, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said, this is evidence that min kamalik tawheed, from perfecting Tawheed is that we never ask a human being for anything. So the Prophet said to Ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنه, وَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ فَلِلَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Then he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَعْلَمْ, and you should understand, know this one, know it, is a matter of certainty, don't doubt it. He's also calling his attention, increasingly, he had called his attention from the beginning, to wa'lam, and know, and let it be known to you, أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ, that all of creatures, لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ, if they combine, they gather together, ala ayyan fa'uka bi shay'in, that they will bring a particular benefit to you, anything. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, lam yanfa'uka illa bi shay'in qad katabahu Allah lak, he cannot grant you that benefit except the benefit that Allah had written for you, because everything is written, everything that will happen is written 50,000 years before creation. The first thing he created is the pen. وَقَالَ لَهُ كُتُبْ, he said to him, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَلَىٰ, write. Say, what should I write? Say, write everything that will happen from now until when there will be nothing. It's written. First writing. The second writing, when he was in the womb of his mother. ثُمَّ يُرُسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ وَيَنْفُقُ فِيهِ الرُّوحُ وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ بِكَتْبِ وَرِزْقِهِ وَعَجَلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَكِيٍ وَمَسْعِيٍ. He now suffer. وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ, have to know that nothing will never miss. It will never miss. So if all human beings gather to give him a benefit that was not written that time, they are wasting their time. لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ, except with something that had been written that time. Those times, those two writings. That is what will benefit him. If they are not there, then it cannot bring benefit. So that's why if anybody grants you a benefit, know that it's not the one who grants you. The benefit has come from who? Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who grants the benefit. That's why it's just halal. Because the best thing, jazakallahu khairan. Because he said, alayhi salatu salam, man la yashkuru nasa, la yashkuru. The one who will not be grateful to human beings will not also show gratitude to Allah. So you just tell him the lack of affair. But the one who has really granted you that benefit is who? Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says they cannot grant the benefit except the one that is written. He says, وَإِنْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَدُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَدُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. If they also gather to say they want to cause a harm to you, they cannot cause that harm to you. He said to them that the Prophet should say, قُلْ لَا تُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Nothing will cause us any harm. Many of the brothers, when they start breaking sunnah, from traditional, doing traditional worship, they make a lot of things in traditional matters. You come and tell them, you will do something. No musibah will come to us. إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. He's our protector and our guidance. So if anything happens to us, هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Alhamdulillah. عَلَىٰ كُلِّ حَالٍ. No threat. When they told Nabi Ibrahim, are you not afraid of these our gods? Who do you say, am I the one who should be afraid? But you should be afraid of Allah. The Muslim Kamalu Tawheed does not fear anyone but Allah. He asks us, أَتَخْشَوْنَهُ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَخْشَوْنَا بِكُمْتُمْ. So a Muslim who fears Allah does not fear other than Allah. They tell you, Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullahi, in his time there are some Sufis who say they used to make fire and enter the fire. They knew that it was a lie. How will you enter fire and it does not burn you? He discovered later that they used to rob something. He mentioned it in his book Al-Furqan. Bain awliya ar-Rahman wa awliya ash-Shaytan. So they used to rub some things on their body. He said, okay, we'll make the fire, but with one condition. Some of us will bath with hot water first before we enter the fire. He said, وَقَدْ اِسْتَخَرْتُ رَبِّي. And I have peace to Allah today. Unfortunately, they gathered all the city, the kings and the rulers, everybody was gathered. And the Sufi Sheikh came, they made the fire. So when anything else, he said, you want to say, no, never enter. First of all, we'll bath with hot water first. You know, what they had dropped will go off their body. He said, I had not taken my bath with anything, but I was sure that if I entered the fire, it will not burn me. So the one who fears Allah does not fear anyone. He's so sure about his life. That's why he says, who am Mawlana? Even if he reaches us, who am Mawlana? We are his slaves. Nothing will reach us except what Allah has written for us. No good will come to us except the one that Allah has written for us. That's why he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُرْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. There is nothing that Allah gives, Allah grants to any slave of any favor. He says, فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. No one can withhold that favor. No one will hold the favor. And the one that he withholds, فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. No one can grant it except him. After our salah, every day, five times, we say what? Allahumma, la mani'a lima atayta, wa la mu'atiya lima mana'ta, wa la yanfadha al-jaddi minka al-jaddi. Every day, every salah. Allahumma, O our Lord, la mani'a lima atayta. What you give, la mani'a. People of Arabia, what is this? Nobody can withhold it. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتَ. And nobody can give what you have not given. What you withhold it, nobody can give it. Not only that. وَلَا يَنْفَوْزَ الْجَجْجُ means الْجَجْجُ. The one who is making effort all around, his effort, it is not by the benefit of his effort that he gets what he gets. It is not effort that brings something to you. If it is effort that brings something, it is those people digging cable on the road that should be the richest people. Allah is one who grants benefit to whomever he wills. And if he grants it, nobody can withhold it. Yeah, in this country, when the whole of Nigeria was saying that MK Abiola must become president, he did become. The same people are saying, we don't want Abacha. Allah took him when he wanted to take him. Allah took him when he wanted to take him. No security, no anything, no ISIS, no. Allah, you know what I want to see me today? He took him. Took him away. When he wanted. And the one also that Allah has destined that wherever the history of Nigeria is mentioned, he'll be mentioned from those who led Nigeria. He was there for 6 months. He was there for another 6 months. Before Abacha came and said, hey, my friend, please, leave this seat. Eventually, left. No problem. That's how Allah does what he wants. So Allahumma la mani'a lima atayta, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'ta, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka. When we say it, let us be putting our minds on it. Our troubles in life will be less. Many people, their trouble in life is because they have not agreed that whatever Allah has granted them cannot be withheld. And what he has withheld cannot be granted. This is their problem in life. So they are running about skelter. They are running about. Some of them land in church. Some of them land in synagogues. And we know where the politicians have landed. Many of them landed in shrines. Yes. It's not the news. Many of them land in shrines. Because they have not known that Allah is the one who is La Mani Alimatika. Wala Mosi Alimamanata. Wala La Yamfa'u Zal Jaddi Minkum Jaddi. This thing should be in the innermost part of our heart. You want to marry a sister? My father said no. So I don't marry a sister. You go, you are from Kwara. Allah has decided that. That decides your wife. She'll be your wife. La mani alimatika. Wala muti alimamana. Wala yamfauzal jabin. If you tell your father this one, if he's a man of iman, he will understand what you are saying. I just want to be in your heart. So he broke my heart. Let nobody break your heart. You are breaking your own heart. Because you have not understood that. La mani alimatika. Wala muti alimamana. This one in your heart. You are looking for a job. La mani, Allahumma la mani alima ataita. La muti alima manat. Many times we say many things, we don't think about it. You want a job, 250,000 naira job. They say, no, we don't want you tomorrow. They don't want you today. Can't Allah make the next tomorrow they call you? You've not seen that kind of a thing before. Even if you miss the interview, they will be looking for you. I've seen it before. You miss interview, 300,000 naira job, 500,000 naira per month. You miss the interview. You just say, I miss the interview. Okay. Just give us your phone number. All those people who came right all the stages of interview, they will say they don't want that. It is this one we want. This one. It is the one that we want. Because la mani alima. Dodja. Dodja. So that is how our Islam is. Things will be easy for us if we on. Let's put it. Anytime we are saying this, the kitab after Salah, remember the meaning. Allah is the one who grants good and is the one who protects from evil. This was also what the companions were upon. This shorty. For 3 years, people were, they didn't sell something to them. They didn't buy something from them. They didn't give them any help. They didn't do anything to them. No talking to them. Cut them off. But they know that Allah is one that la mani alimatita. It is because people don't understand this one, they go and start shaving their beard because they want a job. People have shaved their beard because they think that they'll be taking the final level of interview. Allah threw them away. It is the day that you shave that beard, Allah writes that. Please remove his name from that list. He will lose two ends. Two ends he will lose. He will shave his beard and you will not get the job. I've seen it. I think she was forced to work in bank, he said, I won't work. The week that she was to go and start in the bank, that is the week she died. That money alima ataita, they will Allah destine that 1 naira of that bank will not reach her mouth. Let us go this one surely. Particularly those brothers who want to marry a sister, they want to die there, we will go and do the nikah in Cameroon. That money alima ataita. If she's your wife, you don't need to go to Cameroon. Come inside your house, they'll come and call you one day and say, that sister you want to marry that day. The brother we want him to marry has died. Please, she's the one, you are the one she's shouting now. Please come and marry her. Let it be 15 years later. This one now is occurring now. I know one like that. The woman wants to marry a man 15 years ago. The husband she married that time died. Now she's that person she wants to marry. Nah, yeah, they will marry. 15 years ago. For 15 years, they didn't have no law contact, no link, nothing. So Allah grants what he wills to whom he wills. This was a lesson the Prophet was implanting to the mind of Ibn Abbas. So don't be surprised the day he was telling Ali radiallahu anhu, let me go to the Khawarij and make munakasha with them. And he said, they can't kill you, don't worry, they won't kill me. Because he knows that la mani alimatita. La mani alimatita. Intelligent. And he knows that Walawishtamaat Allah and Yadurruka Vishain. Lam Yadurruka Illa Vishain. But Katabullah Alaik. See, because Rufi Atil Aklam was the fatis suhuf. The pens have been raised and the pages are dried. There is nothing new that will happen again. Nothing new. Says ma asaba min musibatin fil ard illa fi wa la fi anfusikum illa fi kitabin min qabli an nabra'a. Nothing will happen except that it is written already. says inna zalika ala allahi yaseer. It says likay la tashaw ala ma fatakum wa la tafrahu bima atakum.
Don't think that so miss me or the world don't end. I will fall into river Niger. If you fall into river Niger, Allah will punish you with river Niger and fire.
Yes, because he said alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who died killing himself with something, the same thing is the word by which Allah will punish you in that time. That will jump into water. Jump and see. You will die and Allah will still punish you with that same thing in the fire. There's no need that the Muslim say he wants to kill himself because of something he didn't get. If they bring it to you like this, you will say, I don't want. How many times would the man say, my best food is plantain and egg? And he falls into the hospital. They bring 50 plantain and 50 eggs. They say, eat. You say, I can't eat. This is best food. One, you've not seen that before. They say, eat one. If you put one in the mouth, say, it is bitter. His best food is bitter. Allah. So no new thing will happen. Don't say something miss you, you will kill yourself. Something miss you, you will leave Islam. If you leave Islam, you will regret. You will regret. People don't know. People used to beg people. I used to tell them, don't beg him. Leave Islam. Fire will burn you forever in Jahannam if you die upon it. You leave Islam. Leave Islam and see what will happen. Your life will be wretched. And your hereafter will be worse. You will think that you should be found. Ya laytani kuntu turaba. Leave Islam and see. Then you don't want them to leave Islam. That's why we are singing and dancing. Leave them. This hadith is reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmat. And the hadith is what he called it Hasanun Sahih. We know what that means. He says, wa fi riwayat ghayr al-Tirmidhi, and in a report other than that of Imam al-Tirmidhi, he said, some of those scholars who reported it. You mentioned Imam Ahmad, you mentioned Imam Abd ibn Humayd in his Musnad, and Imam al-Tabarani. But the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in another word, in Ishfadillaha tajidhu amamak. Guide Allah's law, you find him guiding you. Ta'arraf ilallahi sirraha, ya'arifka fi shidda. Like to obey Allah when you have goodies. Some people, when they have goodies, they don't have time. Say, I'm busy now. It's time for something, I'm busy now. It's later. Salah to his later. Because he has money. He has cards. He has. When he does not have them again, you say, it is Allah now. In fact, my salah is all kinds at this time. Don't do that. Don't do that. So, no Allah. Serve Allah at the time of Eid. Allah will protect you and give you ways out at the time of difficulty. So wa'alam anna ma akhta'aka lam yakun liyusibak. And be sure that whatever misses you was not to reach you in the first place, because it has not been written that it should reach you. Wa ma akhta'aka lam yakun liyusibaka. And whatever reaches you was not to miss you in the first. It will not miss you. People used to use this as an analogy, and I find it very important. If you see a sea of water flowing like this, and you stand in front of it, do you know that the one you will drink will not flow past you? The one you will drink from that water, it will not flow past you. Even if you collect it, you will not drink it if it is not from the one that you will drink from. Your hand will be open and it will flow out. But the one you will drink it. In fact, the one you will not drink may even reach your lips like this and not enter your mouth. You are the one who will use your hand to clean it off. Because lamiyakun be yusiba. Because it was not to be from the one you will drink. So it will rub you on your lips. And you use your hand like this. Okay. You are the one who will clean it. If you don't clean it, if you are drunk it, you feel something in your mouth, you throw it out. Because it is not from what you will drink from. He says, "Wa'lam anna an-nasra ma'a as-sabr." Know that it is your patience to help to come from Allah. He says about Bani Israel, he says, "Waj'alna minhum a'immatan yahduna bi'amrina lamma sabaru wa kanu bi'ayatina yuqinun." Look at it again. It's called Allah. "Waj'alna minhum a'imma." This verse, it has a lot of things that is called, they discuss politics in it, this verse. "Waj'alna minhum a'immatan yahduna bi'amrina lamma sabaru." The politics of Islam had been discussed by one of the scholars basing it on this verse of the Quran. That Bani Israel were made leaders on the earth, not because they joined democracy, not because they could get larger votes. That was not why Allah made them leaders on the earth. Not just leaders, Yahaduna bi Amrina, who led upon the commands of Allah. Why? Lamma sabaru. First thing, if you want to become leaders on the earth, patience. Not suicide bombing. Sabr. 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 Allah said, because they were patient, to make them imams. A'imma. Yahaduna bi amrina. They guided based on the laws of Allah. So if you want to establish Sharia on the earth, sabr first. The ummah must go and learn how to be patient. Be patient at difficulty. Be patient to obey Allah. Patient. The second one, wakanu the ayat in ayukin. The other thing is the taqwa, and that is from ish of Allah. Say taqwa is to do what Allah says we should do, and to leave what He says we should do. And then we should be patient. This is what will bring us to leave. So are you saying we should leave it for the Democrats? Don't worry, Allah will make us the leaders. All what we want, we will be patient. So we will never disobey Allah. So someone says he wants to assist Islam so that Islam will be, Muslims will become leaders. The first thing we need is to shave his beard. How is that? Where is the taqwa? So that's why many of them, if you read where I stand, many of these people we are seeing became leaders amongst the military. They were sent into the military so that they would be aids to Islam. But what did they become? They know what they became. They themselves know. It says, "Valil insanu ala nafsihi basira." They know what they are. So you do not help Islam by first of all killing Islam. It says, "In tansurullaha yansurkum." This is the motto of Nigeria. I mean, I'm sure we know. This is his written. "In tansurullaha yansurkum." "Ma nasru illa min indillah." This is, they have the same message. So in tansurullaha yansurkum, you want to help Allah, the first thing you do is to shave your beard. But he said, "If you help me, I'll help you." Have you helped Allah? Have you helped Allah's deen? Not only that, yansurkum, you sabitu aqdamakum. When you shave it, you will not get sabat. So that's why they get inhiraf when they go there. That first reason for which they enter, they change the reason. So, sabr is very important. It's from the things that brings about imama. No non-patient person will ever be a leader in the world. If he becomes a leader, he becomes a bad leader. If you want to rule in the world, well, leader, be patient. It's not only leader. So if you are mudir of a school, be patient. Yes, mudir of school, take it easy with the teacher, for be patient. Husband in a house, be patient. You lead well as a husband. If you can't be patient, you can't marry two wives, three wives, four wives. Even one self, she will be seeing hell from your hand if you are not patient. So wa'lam anna an-nasra ma'a as-sabr. Know that help comes with patience. Wa anna al-faraja ma'a al-kabr. And that ways out of difficulties, they come with what? Difficulties. And afflictions have ways out. When the afflictions come, there is way out for it. No, surely there is way out. Wa anna ma'a al-usri yusra. Now when there is difficulty, there is ease. Allah says, "Inna ma'a al-usri yusra." So know certainly that with difficulty there is ease. So Allah repeated it twice. In Layl Qadr, difficulty that speaks. So, Ikhwan, this is the hadith, very lengthy hadith, but very, very beneficial. One of the scholars, Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he wrote a whole book on this hadith. And the book is said to be lengthy. He said the book is lengthy. Alayhi rahmatullah. He mentioned that in his sharh of this hadith in Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. And many of the scholars have mentioned the name of the book. He called it Nur al-Iktibasi fi Mishkati Wasiyat al-Nabi ibn Abbas. If we find it, we'll get it to us, inshallah. Hope it will be a very beneficial book, because one of the scholars was saying that Nate ibn Rajab mentioned the turuq of this hadith, because it is reported from other than Ibn Abbas. But Al-Imam Ibn Munda alayhi rahmatullah said, all other chains of narration that leads to other companions like Ali ibn Abi Talib and others are weak. The only authentic narration is that of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that he reported by himself, radiallahu anhuma. Inshallah, this is where we stop about this hadith. We ask Allah to grant us all the benefits in this hadith and make us live by the message of the hadith. If there is one or two questions, inshallah, we will attempt them before we go. Alaykum salam. After it is clear to him that any moment from now he can die. Well, if you look at it, there is a verse in Surah An-Nisa that the tawbah is not for those who are already seeing death already. And then he says, in me too, Fir'aun. He said, now I repent, like that of Fir'aun. But if it is in a situation where there is no surety of death for him, if he repents, Allah will forgive him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand. When that will happen, when the repentance will not be taken again finally, and when it will still be taken, because there is this hadith of the Jews who served the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was at the point of death, and the Prophet told him that he should take Shahada Allah ilaha illallah. And he asked his father. The father told him, Itadi Abba al-Qasim, follow the father of God. He made it, and he died. That was also at the point of death. So it is safer for us to ask Allah to forgive such a person also, rather than saying that when you wanted to die, is when you are sent over. Allah will never forgive you. Don't say that to a Muslim. That he is forgiving is better for you than that he is not forgiving. Because that will mean that your dua for him is accepted and you will be rewarded for that too. So when exactly that tawbah will not be accepted again, it's known to Allah alone. Because it's one who knows when he will surely kill the person or not. If you look at that hadith of Jibril, that he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you saw me when I ran to the bottom of the Red Sea and piled the mouth of Fir'aun with the sand, so that he does not repeat that statement again. If it was not that Jibreel thought that he could be forgiven, he would not do so. So only Allah knows when someone will not be forgiven again. But he says if the person is at the point of death. Do you know when he is at the point of death? Allahu Akbar. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك